I'd like to begin, I'd like to invite Ferenc, first of all, to come and play a little piano extract with me. Thank you very much for having me here today. I'm delighted to be speaking on Bulbark today and be able to share some of my thoughts on his music. Was shown at the Vienna Academy in 1874. Schubert's presence in Vienna at the time when Goldbach was looking for a subject for a new overture, or possibly an opera, might well have influenced the decision to compose Penseleer. As Feuerbach was about to take up a professorship at the Academy of Arts in Vienna in 1874, he was anxious about how his work would stand up against the massive, bold and expressive canvases of Hans Mackart, who led artistic taste in the city at the time. He therefore decided to make his debut painting for Vienna, A Battle of the Amazons. With its stormy atmosphere and its depiction of brutal yet erotic women, the painting made a great stir in Vienna. The critics and public were appalled, but Feuerbach's colleagues remained supportive of him. Goldbach would surely have seen the painting and read the criticism, possibly in the company of Brahms. Although Brahms admired Feuerbach's work, and there had been mutual influence between the painter and the composer, he could not comprehend the Amazonenschlacht. This may have been to do with its brutal otherness, but for Goldbach, otherness was inspirational. Feuerbach did not imitate ancient sources, but reawakened their emotional states for the present day. It was a means he used to speak with an individual voice. Similarly, Goldbach did not seek to imitate the world of Penseleer by including local colour through oriental melodies or instruments, as he had done in The Queen of Sheba. Instead, he extended conventional compositional techniques to explore the play's emotional content and the conflict between Occident, the Greeks, and Orient, the Amazons. He used it to develop an individual voice, something against which he set great store. Penseleer enabled him to reflect musically his own feelings and struggles, and also to show his unique character. Sensuality, cruelty, and mystery of a world apart are generally accepted as the essence of the Orient, and Penseleer certainly qualifies as an Oriental work according to these parameters. This loose definition explains why Goldbach's music did not need to show Oriental surface features. Penseleer is distinct from an operatic dramatization, and it is not an Indian tale like Shakuntala. Therefore, if one is to regard it as an Oriental work, it is not principally on account of superficial local color. Orientalism here has much more to do with a highly individual control of the work's structure and extreme forms of expression employing great contrast. Although Penseleer runs as one continuous movement, Goldbach supplied subtitles, Penseleer and Achilles, the Rose Festival, Battle and Death. These represent a generalization of the action in the play, but they do serve to connect the music directly with Kleist. Overall, the overture is in ternary form, but the sections tend to run into one another, and Goldbach successfully creates the impression of the fluctuating emotions and the lack of clear direction that is present in Kleist's play, without actually giving a scene-by-scene account of it. We have already heard an example of Goldbach's cruel, dissonant, and forceful music, and there is plenty of it at the beginning and the end of the piece. It is a sensual music, however, which fills the bulk of the work, and this is what I will examine here. The terrifying music runs seamlessly into gentler, flowing legato passages with a more sensuous, erotic quality. The example I've just put up now reflects the action of scene two in the play, where the Greeks observe Penseleer wandering around in an exotic daze. However, as the overture continues, Goldbach explores the range of emotions and abrupt changes in mood. He transforms the legato material into something louder and more forceful, suggesting Penseleer's mood swings. A new theme is then introduced, a cantabile melody in the clarinet. Note the unrest provided by the dotted rhythm accompaniment in the viola part. The development of this section into a richly scored extended legato string passage seems to explore the feelings of lust that abound in the text, be it with the Amazon women, Penseleer herself, or even Achilles. Neither the orchestral colouring, the melody nor the harmony suggest specific Orientalism other than the representation of extreme passion. We can hear all these examples in my sound clip now. This is taken from the Michael Hollas recording. With a modulation to E major at the andante, the music becomes lyrical with a romantic sweetness and some slight oriental touches. Firstly, you see the use of the oboe, that particular sonority, and in its line, the inclusion of some semiquaver decoration and trill. The second aspect is the accompaniment. You've got a drone in the cello and basses and a syncopated figure in the inner string parts, which might suggest a folk music type accompaniment. Unfortunately, I haven't got time to play that particular one. The Amazons then attack the Greeks, and Penthesilea is mortally wounded by Achilles. As she is dying, Achilles falls in love with her. He approaches Penthesilea disarmed. Their love is declared, and sensuously she adorns him with roses. Only a garland of roses here, over your head and one about your neck, down your arms, your hands, your feet, about and up again, your head again, and it is done. Oh, look, I beg of you, see how roses with their melting glow become him, how gleams his face like thunder dark among them. So I quote from Kleist's play in English translation. This text seems to correspond to the passionate passage reminiscent of Tchaikovsky, in which a wonderful, luscious cello melody emerges. Notice the abrupt truncation of the melody mid-flow. Maybe another orientalism. So this is the entire melody, and it just drops off at the end. And we will hear that in the example I'm going to play now.
Thank you.
explores the mixture of emotions, love, lust, denial, sexual gratification, and the need to procreate. It turns into a complete history of the Amazons, in which Kleist proffers a sympathetic view of these uncouth warrior women. Goldmark's wide selection and frequent working, reworking of musical ideas, together with his slow transition into recapitulation, certainly cover the range of emotions of Kleist's play here, but they cannot tell the story. The transition, which you see here, is Penthesilea's awakening to reality. She realises that she is about to succumb to Achilles rather than he to her, and violent rage boils up inside her. This is an oriental climax, and the music does not disappoint. It is highly chromatic, using triplets, and scored with a sombre-sounding clarinet and bassoon, punctuated with chords in the strings. The clip we will hear begins in the luscious romantic music and ends just before the recapitulation, as the opening music is beginning to return. With Penthesilea, it seems to follow Schlegel's admonition that artists should seek the highest romanticism in the Orient.